Hello, everybody, and welcome to the very first episode of the Super Podcast for 2017, right here at the Super Network at supermarcy.com. And I'm your host, of course, Super Marcy, and I'm joined with my partner in crime, Bede, the terrible Australian Jermaine. Hello, Bede.
Hi, Marcy. How are you?
Doing well, just enjoying this Australian summer.
Yeah, it's always enjoyable having a really hot, steamy summer here in Australia.
Yeah, you can't really do much because it's so damn hot.
Although, to be fair, in Melbourne it's not so bad, but everywhere else it's like the worst. Because I was over at home, I went back to Cobar, my old hometown, for Christmas, and it was blistering hot.
Yeah, I was in Sydney at Coogee. Even though it wasn't like, the weather said it wasn't that hot, it felt that hot.
Yep.
And it's just like, oh my god. I'm melting right now.
Indeed. I think I started to look like Tommy Wiseau the entire time I was home.
You were just melting.
My face was just like a big puddle of melted wax.
Yep. You're saying you're made out of wax, are you?
I could be.
Who knows?
Yes.
Who knows? But yes, happy New Year to all our lovely listeners, and yes, indeed, we are back. We have two topics, I guess, to discuss.
Yep.
Looking back on some of the films of 2016, we are going to throw out just five general recommendations for films maybe you may have missed or haven't seen yet, and then our 2017 preview show.
Yes.
So we will do that. So just to be clear, with our picks for 2016, it's not like our favourite movies or anything, just ones we think, you know, we'd recommend people check out.
Yeah, like, I mean, we still have a lot to watch before we finalise our top tens of 2016. So, no, for all the listeners out there, I usually don't post mine until probably early February. So this is just, you know, recommendations of films that you and I have seen over the course of the year that we really liked and think that more people should check out if they haven't already seen them already.
Yeah, pretty much. So before we get started, Bede, why are you a terrible Australian for this episode of the Super Podcast?
Marcy, I'm a terrible Australian because I have seen the remake of Cabin Fever. Yes, yeah,
so I'm just sitting here right now.
Pretty much that look on your face you just gave me just then pretty much sums up the entire movie.
Yeah. Isn't it like a script, like the same script?
They use the exact same script. So it's basically, I don't want to say the term shot for shot because that would indicate they
copied the shots from the movie.
It's the exact script. So it's scene for scene, line for line. Although they did change those little bits here and there to update it for today.
Yeah.
But, and also kind of change things around, like, because what was it? The cop character, the deputy? Like, who played by Giuseppe Andrews in the first one, was now played by a woman in this remake. Okay. But other than that, that's pretty much the extent of all the changes. It's pretty much, it's pretty much a word-for-word, scene-for-scene remake of this film. And unfortunately, it adds nothing to the film. If anything, what I did like about, because it has been a while since I've seen the original Cabin Fever, but what I always liked about it is kind of, it was like, had this sort of great, sort of funny, dark humour to it, but also a really sort of bizarre weirdness to it as well. Yeah. But this one kind of strips the film of that.
Oh, okay.
And it just comes off feeling more serious. Like, and also the jokes and all that are still there, but they just come off like more flat than anything else.
Okay.
Especially with the tone, because the film, like the original, was more sort of kind of a gritty, kind of going for that sort of aesthetic of 70s, 80s films. Yeah. Well, this one's more kind of very polished and, like, the movie looks great. I'm not going to doubt that.
Mm.
But it's just, it just feels like it just feels too polished and too neat and tidy. And also the acting in this one, unfortunately, isn't as memorable as it was in the original. I mean, you kind of said something when a remake of Cabin Fever screws up the whole kid who keeps yelling pancakes the entire time. Yeah. Somehow they
Dennis or whatever.
Yes, so they kind of screw up that whole thing made it memorable in the film. So there's no kung fu fighting in this one.
Oh, damn it.
So, yeah, I mean, if you've seen the original Cabin Fever, you've already seen the remake pretty much.
All right, then. Good luck with that.
Yeah.
All right. So there you have it, folks. That's why he is Trouble Australian for this episode of the podcast.
Of course.
So we'll kick right off into just our five recommendations each from 2016. I'll go first. So I decided to pick Star Trek Beyond.
Yep.
People may have been following my thoughts on the previous Star Trek film, Into Darkness. I thought it was terrible. I really didn't like it. And I just felt this one just fixed so many issues. Like, it felt so much more original. It told an interesting story. It kind of expanded the characters a little bit. But I just found it was just, it still felt kind of more like traditional Star Trek, but just in that updated way.
Yeah.
But I just found it really, really enjoyable. So if, like me, you really didn't like Into Darkness all that much, this would be the one to go to watch. And I think if you did enjoy Into Darkness, you'd definitely enjoy this as well.
Yeah.
But certainly this just upped the ante a lot for me, and I really, really enjoyed it. And I thought Justin Lin was inspired choice for director, and I think he did a fairly decent job.
Yeah, so, I agree with that.
Yeah, it was one of my bigger surprises for a bigger film this year.
Hmm.
So, yeah, that's my first quick recommendation.
Alrighty, I guess with my first recommendation, I want to talk about the documentary Wiener.
Yeah.
Which is the film I saw, it was a film I saw at MIFF this year, and it was definitely one of my highlights. And it's a great doco about... disgraced congressman.
But isn't it weird that his name's Wiener and he got in trouble for showing his wiener?
Pretty much. Like, that's, I guess for those out there who don't know the context, I mean, the story behind the doco, it's about disgraced congressman Anthony Wiener, who pretty much was, he was kind of like this very fiery, very sort of, like, very motivated and also who, kind of politician who pretty much did not take any crap from anyone. So he, like, you watch all, like, footage of him, like, in debates and stuff like that. He was, like, you know, you can definitely see his passion and everything. But then, of course, then it came out that he was followed by a lot of scandals. And the first one being he sent dick pics to girls.
He sent his wiener.
Exactly. So that got him in the trouble. And the doco kind of follows him trying to get his political career back on track by becoming mayor of New York. And, of course, that's all going well and everything. And then a second sexting scandal breaks out, and it basically follows the sort of aftermath of that. So you get the sort of the before and after of that. But what the doco is, what I really enjoyed about it is that for a movie that is about a doco about politics, it's actually very entertaining. But it's also very insightful, and also kind of just seeing how, like, now with, like, how some politicians can do something really bad and get ostracized for it, but yet other politicians, Trump, can do probably even worse horrible things and somehow get elected to president. But, you know, that's a whole debate right there. But it's pretty much follows him, and Anthony Weiner is the front and center of the doco, and we kind of see all aspects of him. Like, he is a bit of a tool, but he's a very charismatic guy who has a lot of passion for, you know, what he's standing up for, or, you know, for the little guy and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just basically how he deals with what's going on with the scandals and how it affects his marriage.
And he can't keep his wiener in his pants.
Exactly. And there's a lot of wiener jokes in this entire documentary.
How could you not make wiener jokes when the guy sends his wiener out?
Exactly. Like, seriously. But, yeah, I'd say it's definitely a high recommendation. If you haven't seen Wiener, definitely check it out for sure.
Cool. So one of my other ones, I thought this was something we actually saw at MIFF together, The Neon Demon, which I think's definitely, very divisive amongst people, because it is such, the best way I can describe this movie, it's like, take Showgirls, but put it in the fashion industry, and as if it was directed by David Lynch, and you get something like The Neon Demon. Nicholas Winding Refn is such a visual filmmaker, as you can see with, like, Drive and
Only
God Figures more recently. And this one probably has more in common with Only God Forgives, but I don't think it kind of goes as deep as that film did.
Yeah.
This film, you understand the metaphors very easily.
Yeah.
It's very obvious, but I really like just how the film unfolded, this journey, just the way, like, everything about it, and it's so weird. And you sit there the whole time just like, what the hell is going on?
It's a film that's sort of both equally parts beautiful and trashy at the same time.
Yeah, it's beautiful trash.
Yeah.
In a way, yeah. It's definitely a unique viewing experience. It's got this incredible soundtrack. It's visually, it's fantastic. The acting's great. It just has these moments that will just floor you completely, and this ending that you'll never forget. Just one of those really unique just films that I've seen this year and viewing experience. So, yeah, if you're like me and you like the more weird, out there, artsy type of movies, definitely. If you're more mainstream, stay the fuck away from this movie.
Exactly.
You'll hate it. Yeah.
Alrighty, my next pick is going into horror, since you're talking about the Neon Demon. I want to talk of my recommendation is the South Korean horror film Train to Busan.
Which I still haven't seen, but I did see the prequel.
Indeed, because there's actually, funny enough, the same director behind Train to Busan, this is his live-action directing debut. He previously made mostly animated films, and one of them, of course, was a prequel to Train to Busan called Seoul Station, which I think we can both recommend as well, which was
pretty it was actually pretty entertaining. Yeah.
But Train to Busan is definitely, like, his big budget. It feels like a very big budget. It's a very big budget sort of South Korean horror film. It feels like a blockbuster.
Mm.
And I can definitely see sort of, there's kind of a mixture of a bit of 28 Days Later, World War Z, and all that. And also a bit of Snowpiercer as well, because it focuses mainly on a train and sort of the class struggles between the passengers and all that. But it's also at the core of it, there's sort of an emotional story about this father who's very neglectful to his young daughter and decides to take her to go see her mum who lives in Busan. And of course, when that happens, a zombie outbreak breaks out. And the film is, I know the zombie genre is kind of been a little bit overdone these days because it's pretty much everywhere. It's like the big trend. But Train to Busan definitely kind of ejects a bit more life, no pun intended, into the genre because it's incredibly intense. It's a lot of fun. It has a lot of sort of emotional and satirical weight to it. And also, it's fun. Like, it is incredibly intense, too. There were a lot of times during the film I found really intense. But at the end of the day, it's just a really fun film. And and it also has a lot of great humor in it as well, which, you know, being a South Korean film, they know how to sort of juggle that sort of tone.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's a great film, and definitely check it out if you haven't seen it.
Yeah, I'll need to actually get around to watching that one. So my next recommendation, I've gone with Bloodfather, which stars Mel Gibson. It was a smaller movie that came out this year. It's kind of like an action thriller type. Yep. It's the kind of movie you could easily set anywhere, like the same story you could set in like the Old West even.
Yeah.
And it kind of has that feel to it. But it's just surprisingly entertaining.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson's actually really good. It's kind of, I guess he's coming back from all his crap that he's been through.
Yeah, it's been a pretty good year for Mel, like between Hacksaw Ridge. Like, but what I realized though with watching the film, it's like you forget how charismatic of a guy Mel is.
Yeah, no, his charisma really shines in the movie, but it's just entertaining. It's this intense ride,
and it's also very funny.
Yeah, it is funny, but they're not the most likable characters. But the people they're up against are even more unlikable.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just one of those interesting kind of under the radar movies that I actually really enjoyed, got a lot out of, and it was fun, fun time for me. So, just, yeah, very briefly on that one. Bloodfather, starring Mel Gibson.
Cool.
And somehow William H. Macy is in there a little bit. And so is Diego Luna.
Oh, yeah.
Had a pretty good year, too.
Exactly.
Call me Diego Luna.
My next one, of course, is the Chet Baker biopic Born to Be Blue, which starred Ethan Hawke in the role of Chet Baker. It's kind of partially based on his life. Like, it is about him, but some things, of course, were made up. Other things are based on facts. But also, it sort of takes a very interesting sort of narrative structure as well as we kind of as this, because basically the film is follows him as he's trying to make his comeback after sort of battling drugs and stuff like that, but also has this kind of weird structure where it also they're making a movie on his life as well, and Chet Baker is playing himself in the movie. Not the Chet Baker, Ethan Hawke playing Chet Baker as himself in the film, and it's actually really well done. I was a pleasant, I saw this at MIFF and I was very pleasantly surprised by it. I mean, Ethan Hawke, great as always. And he does these great sort of musical numbers, like not with just the trumpet that Chet Baker is best known for, but also these sort of singing performances as well that are just extremely well done and quite beautiful. And it definitely seems to have gone under a lot of radar in terms of films that have come out this year. But yeah, Born to be Blue is definitely a recommendation if nobody else has seen it.
Cool. So my turn for a documentary. And it's probably one of the weirdest documentaries you'll probably ever see, and that would be Tickled. And it's pretty much, the guy's name escapes me, a New Zealand journalist just stumbles across this video of these guys. It looks like they're doing competitive tickling. And he pretty much, like, contacts the PR, I think it's meant to be, and they just send him threats, and he's like, what's going on right now? So it's pretty much, he's like, all right, I want to look into this. And it's his journey with a guy that he's with into this weird thing with tickling. And just as this movie progresses, just more stuff is coming out. And you're just sitting there going, what am I watching? What is going on? I'm so confused right now. There's just so much going on. You go deeper and deeper into this rabbit hole, and it's just, it's fascinating, it's shocking, it's sad. You know, this whole, with these tickling videos, like, people's lives have been ruined, and there's all this bullying, and oh my gosh, it's insane. Like, I don't want to say too much about it, because you just kind of need to watch it and experience this thing and just be like, what?
Yeah, it's one of those docos where it's kind of like, you know, like the doco Catfish, it's kind of like, you think it starts off being about one thing, and then once the story gets going, it just, like, it takes so many different turns and all that, and you're just surprised about
where it ends up. Yeah, you're just sitting there going, what? But yeah, definitely worth checking out.
My next pick is an Australian film, because I think this year has been a pretty solid year for, not as, for Aussie films, not as amazing of a year like last 2015 was, but there's still some pretty good gems out this year. But one of the ones I was a big fan of was a film called Boys in the Trees, which is kind of a mixture of different genres, because it's a bit of, like, coming-of-age drama, a bit of horror, a bit of fantasy, and it's about these two teenage boys. I mean, it's the film set in the 1997 on the night of Halloween, and it's about these two teenage boys who used to be friends but kind of went their separate ways, and them sort of, like, coming back together, and during the course of the night, they go on this journey through, like, their sort of, and about their sort of, and the sort of take full on their own personal fears, their dreams, and stuff like that. So it's a movie that definitely has a bit of a Lynchian vibe to it, and also maybe a bit of a Donnie Darko kind of vibe to it as well. But it's definitely an interesting experience and very ambitious film. Like, I'm not going to say it's 100% perfect, but it's a really compelling and really engaging film that I just found that I really liked a lot. It also has a great 90s soundtrack as well. And yeah, I mean, definitely worth checking out if you haven't seen Boys in the Trees.
Yeah, I need to see that. And my final pick, it is final pick, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah. I decided to go with Sully, say that properly, and not from Monsters, Inc. This is from Clint Eastwood, and it's about the pilot who had to land a plane on the Hudson River. I think it was 2009. So rather than the plane actually maybe crashing, having a really bad accident, he landed it in the on the water, and everyone survived. So this tackles kind of the aftermath and how people are calling the captain a hero, but then all the other, I guess, professional, whatever, are kind of questioning everything and saying, well, maybe he's done the wrong thing. All this testing is proving otherwise. And Sully's just like, no, I know what happened.
Yeah.
I did the right thing. I don't see myself as a hero. I'm doing my job. So what I really found fascinating is that this kind of stuff happens. Someone has actually done the right thing. He did what he could and he saved everybody on this plane because the plane was hit by birds and they got into the engines, whatever. And that you look at the other side and they criticize him for it, trying to say, you know, you did the wrong thing. And I just find that an interesting thing. Like, you just, you're so, like, on board with Sully and you just feel like this guy's done the right thing.
Yeah.
And that he's getting, like, criticized and everything for it. So I just find, like, something a bit different from Clint Eastwood. It's not a really long movie.
Yeah, it's only, like, 90 minutes long.
Yeah, but it's quite engaging. It's really interesting and it's very harrowing when they actually recreate the actual crash itself or crash, whatever. And you just feel like, yeah, this guy did the right thing in what he did. Otherwise, that could have been a massive disaster. So it's just one of those little kind of true story films, but it's just interesting and an interesting take on how you do that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I liked the structure of it. And, yeah, pretty good performances in the movie. Tom Hanks is good. Aaron Eckhart has a manly mustache. and that's very memorable. But, yeah, it's just one of those not quite by the numbers kind of true story movies. So, yeah, that was my final one.
Cool. I got two, but mainly one's more of an honourable mention, which I won't go too much into. But the one I do want to take is another Australian film, and it's a film called Down Under, which is kind of this very dark comedy that sort of explores the Cronulla race
riots. The Cronulla riots, yeah.
Yeah, because that was sort of a very dark chapter of what happened in our country, I think about 10 years back, wasn't it?
I can't remember how long ago
it was. It was back in the noughties, so it was around then.
We'll just say a bunch of white Australian drunk men decided to be racist assholes.
Yes, exactly. And the film kind of shows, like, the film, like, when you think a dark comedy about that situation feels off, but the thing is, though, the whole situation is treated very seriously, but a lot of the film's sort of humour comes from the characters, and mainly because, and in the movie sort of pokes fun at both sides, you know, of this whole thing, and pretty much, like, how much they're idiots on both sides, because all the characters in the film, like, except for a couple exceptions, everyone's basically an idiot in the film, and you kind of, and there's some great sort of satirical moments, like, there's one character who reckons that, oh, yeah, Australia should build a wall around the country. But, yeah, one of his mates just goes into, like, well, if they had to build a wall, they have to get all the supplies and everything from other countries just to build it. So it's kind of that. But also it does have, it is very funny, but it also has some pretty dark moments in there as well. So I think if you're going expecting it to be a full-on comedy, you're going to be disappointed. But, I mean, with the situation that it's based on, it's understandable to still take that serious, but I was just found it incredibly impressive as a film and definitely worth checking out. And my little honourable mention is a film that I think pretty much everyone has seen on the planet, but maybe not this version of the movie, and that's Batman vs. Superman Dawn of Justice, the Ultimate Edition, which is 30 minutes longer than the theatrical cut. And pretty much that 30 minutes pretty much fixes up all the problems.
It does.
With a lot of people had with the film.
Yeah, it does. It adds a lot more to it and it fixes plot holes and stuff.
Yeah, so it also sort of, yeah, fix up some of the plot holes, most of the plot holes, and also gives more motivation to some of the characters and why they're doing what they're doing, and as well as even develops more of Superman as a character and also his struggles throughout the film. So, because I know a lot of people were kind of a bit iffy on that on the theatrical cut, but the Ultimate Edition version fixes that whole subplot of the film. So, I'd say if you did like the film or didn't like the film, I'd say give the Ultimate Edition a chance. I mean, it still has some of the problems, like, people seem to have, like, it's too dark, too long, and whatever, but I think this one, if they released it in theatres, would have had a much better reception than
probably
than the theatrical cut.
All right, so that's our recommendations from films of last year.
Yep,
we'll jump straight into our 2017 preview. We are going by US release because everything gets released late in this country. So
yep,
We'll just start off with January. Some films have already been released. So for January, there's Underworld Blood Wars.
Which I've already seen because it came out last year here in Australia.
Yeah, so pass on that one.
It's pretty terrible, so pass.
Yep. I have no idea what the Bye Bye Man is. Or Sleepless.
That's a remake of Sleepless Nights. It's like this action film from France.
Oh, okay.
I've heard good things about the original. Haven't seen it yet, so I can't really say.
Okay, so then Monster Trucks, which kind of looks like fun. It's got Lucas Till, who's the current MacGyver.
Yeah, I know. It's one of those bizarrely premise-type films, and yeah. I kind of just want to see it mainly because of how weird it is.
One that looks interesting, and I had no idea it was by M. Night Shyamalan, is Split with James McAvoy.
Yeah.
Where he has, like, all these personalities.
I've heard really good things about it from people who have seen it.
Seems to be quite positive. So I think if there's anything to really want to watch this month, I think it's out here at the end of the month.
Yeah.
It would be that one. I have zero interest in The Return of Xander Cage, XXX. Especially when it's directed by DJ Caruso. He's just shit. Yeah, I'm sure you want to see it.
Oh, totally.
A Dog's Purpose, which I think will just depress the hell out of me.
It's directed by Lasse Hallström, this is like the second or third movie about a dog that he's made, I think. So this is kind of weird. And Dennis Quaid's in it, so.
Yeah, this one just looks like, because it's like the spirit of this dog goes into all these other dogs.
It's basically
life, and I'm just like, oh my god, I'm just can't handle it.
Well, I'm just saying, Fluke did it first, people, just saying.
And then Resident Evil, the final chapter, to which I say, pass.
I say, yeah.
And apparently Ruby Rose is in that,
and Xander Cage. And also in another movie that's out in February.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you'll know which one it is.
Oh, yeah, yeah. All right, so we'll move right along to February. We'll just read out all the movies. If there's something we actually find interesting, we'll say. So Collide, which I have no idea what it is.
It's got Felicity Jones and Nicholas Holt and Anthony Hopkins and Ben Kingsley.
All right, so possibly it could be something interesting.
Yeah.
Rings, which is... Is it meant to be a sequel or remake to Rings?
It's a sequel, yeah.
A sequel?
Yeah, I'll check it out, it probably won't be good, but, you know, I'm just curious to see how it turns out. So.
Yeah, I don't know how you can sort of do that in this day and age, but we'll see. Youth in Oregon, which has Frank Langella.
And Billy Crudup. It's actually got a pretty decent cast. Josh Lucas, Christina Applegate.
I knew nothing about it.
I never heard of it either, so this is...
So maybe?
Joel David Moore, he's the actor, right? Like, from Avatar and all of that.
No idea.
I don't know.
Well, it's just comedy drama, so possibly might be good. The Space Between Us, I have no idea. It's got a piece of Butterfield in it.
It's a sci-fi film from what I read.
That kid just keeps doing sci-fi movies.
Yeah, and Gary Oldman, Carla Eugenia, hello. I mean, him.
BD Wong, yeah. Yes. one I'll definitely not fucking see is 50 Shades Darker.
But of course I'll have to see it because that's just the type of guy that I am.
One I do want to see, John Wick, Chapter 2, and yes, there's Ruby Rose.
And Keanu Reeves, of course.
Yeah, and this one has Keanu Reeves, Common, Bridget Monaghan, Ian McShane, John Leguizamo, as I said, Ruby Rose, and Lawrence Fishburne, so that's a pretty good cast.
I mean, I like the original John Wick. I don't think it was as amazing as people made it out there, but I'm still down for a sequel.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun, so.
I think it'll be good. The Lego Batman movie, which is not out here in February, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah, it's out in March, isn't it?
Yep, because they're stupid.
Yep.
Yeah, definitely seeing this. It looks like fun.
I mean, it's got Will Arnett reprising his role as Batman, and Ralph Fiennes as Alfred, and also, just like, and even Billy Dee Williams is back playing Harvey Dent.
Yeah, that's kind of the most awesome thing, so, yeah, absolutely. I don't know what a cure for wellness
is. I've seen trailers. It's Gore Verbinski coming back to the horror genre.
Okay.
And from what I hear, it's really weird. Like, it's a mainstream horror film that's...
Oh, no, I did see the trailers with Dane DeHaan in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks really weird. That's right.
I definitely am very curious to see this one. I definitely one of my highlights for the year.
Yeah, if anything, it'll be interesting. Something called Fist Fight that has Ice Cube, so I think it'll pass.
It's got Charlie Day in it. It is what?
Pass. No, I love Charlie Day, but yeah, I don't know. The Great Wall, which so much controversy, and I'm like, Look, let's get one thing straight. This is not a historical epic.
Yes.
This is a fantasy movie. So you can put a freaking Matt Damon in it.
Yeah, and he's not even playing an Asian character, so why are people upset?
It's not historically accurate by any means. So, yeah. And you want to sell your movie, you kind of need a name. So yeah. The rest of the cast, except for like Willem Dafoe, are from China, I think.
Yeah, like Andy Lau and a whole bunch of other people.
His names I can't pronounce, yes. I apologize. I have no idea what Patient Zero is.
I think it's like a...
looks like a horror movie.
It's a zombie film, I think.
It's got Matt Smith in it.
And Natalie Dormer and Stanley Tucci. So I don't really know much about it, other than...
we'll just keep our eyes out on that one.
The Jedi King, that's already out here in Australia, so...
I don't know what that one is.
That's based on a true story with David Oyelowo and Rosamund Pike. Like, he plays, like, this African prince who marries Rosamund Pike's character. And there's, like, the big sort of scandal whether, you know, he shouldn't be marrying a white woman and stuff like that. Okay. So, like, I've heard good things about it from people who have seen it.
Get Out.
That's Jordan Peele from... that's his horror film, like,
straight up. I've seen like the that's like the Stepford Wives, but with white people.
Yes.
Yeah.
That the trailer looked really good.
It looks really fantastic. Weird. I would love to see this movie.
And it looks weird too, so I'm definitely down.
I'm so down with this whole, like, fucking white people being fucking psychotic. So down with that. I don't know what Tulip Fever is, but it's got Alicia Vikander in it.
And Dayton DeHaan, again, Zach Galifianakis, Judy Dench, Christoph Waltz. That's a pretty solid cast. Even Cara Delevingne's in it too.
Mm.
So
don't know what it is, but hey.
Yeah, with that cast, I'd check it out.
I don't know what Rock Dog is.
I think it's an animated film.
It looks animated with Luke Wilson, Eddie Izzard, and a bunch of other people.
Yep.
That's
pretty much February.
Yep. Let's move on to March. I think one we will definitely both be seeing, Logan,
yes,
which is going to be Hugh Jackman's swan song for Wolverine.
Mm. It looks awesome, and it feels like, not just for in the X-Men series, but for other recent superhero films, it feels different from other ones. It looks more, I wouldn't say serious or dark or gritty, but just has a different vibe to it. Mm. Like, and from what I hear, it's much more character-based. So, yeah. I mean, the trailers have been fantastic, and I can't wait to see this one.
Yeah, with the X-23.
Yeah.
And you've also got Patrick Stewart
back
on the run with him. So, yeah, looks like, that one I really am excited for. I don't know what the Shaq is. I'm going to say a lot about, like, I don't know.
I know about the Shaq, it is a faith-based film, but from what I hear, based on the synopsis... because I've heard from people who have read the book that it's based on, it is absolutely batshit insane.
All right, then.
it's like Collateral Beauty Bizarre.
All right. Moving right along, T2 Trainspotting. look, I like Trainspotting a lot.
Mm.
And the fact they've done a sequel so many years later with the same cast, you've still got Danny Boyle. Like, I'm interested, very interested. Look, it could go either way. So I'm definitely something I just want to go into without expectations.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I did like Trainspotting. I wouldn't say I didn't think it was as amazing people made it out to me. I mean, to be fair, I do find drug addicts I have a low tolerance for drug addicts. So it probably didn't affect me as much as other people. But I'm curious to see how this sequel turned out. And, you know, with Danny Boyle and the cast and everyone back and everything, I'm curious to see how it turns out.
Table 19.
I think it's a comedy at a wedding.
It's written by the Duplass boys,
Anna Kendrick, Amanda Crew, Stephen Merchant, Lisa Kudrow, Wyatt Russell.
Oh, I'm seeing it just for him.
Craig Robinson. Yeah, it's got a pretty solid cast.
There's Wilson with Woody Harrelson, Laura Dern. Never heard of it. So it's comedy drama.
I could be wrong. I think it's based on a graphic novel written by the guy who wrote Ghost World.
Okay.
So I'd check it out. That's mainly for the cast. And
I don't know what Leap is.
But Dan DeHaan and Elle Fanning are in
there. Dan DeHaan again.
It's a musical fantasy adventure. It could be an animated film. Actually, it's an animated film now that I remember. I saw a picture of it.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
All right, then. Yeah, one I'm interested in seeing is Kong Skull Island, because this is going to lead to Kong versus Godzilla.
I know, the tone was like all over the place in that trailer. Mm. I wasn't expecting that, especially when John C. Reilly's character shows up and it just gets so bizarre from there. But
yeah.
But I mean, it looks like it will be fun, and I definitely want to see this monster, I mean, giant monsters universe that they're creating and see how
it's kind of an exciting universe, I think.
Yeah.
And I think we need something a bit more action-orientated with King Kong.
Yeah.
And he's massive.
And he's huge. Yeah. And by the time Godzilla versus King Kong comes around, it'll probably be even bigger.
That'll be epic. Like, the Earth will be destroyed because these are giants fighting. One I'm actually really interested in seeing is The Wall from Doug Liman, and it stars Aaron Taylor-Johnson and John Cena. John Cena actually looks like he's really good in it.
Yeah, well, it's a simple premise. Basically, two soldiers get caught stuck in an area by a sniper, and that kind of premise you can do a lot with and also make a really intense sort of action thriller. And, of course, I knew Aaron Taylor-Johnson was in it, but I was surprised that John Cena was in
it. Yeah, I had no idea he even made this movie until the trailer was out.
Yeah, he's kind of like... Yeah, his acting career has kind of gone on the up and up over the last few years, John Cena.
Look, I think he's actually a really good actor. There's a lot of potential for him.
Hmm.
And I think this one could really do wonders for
him. Yeah, show off his dramatic muscles and all that. So,
Do you want to take off some of these ones?
The Sense of an Ending, I don't know. I haven't heard of this movie, but it's got Jim Broadbent, Charlotte Rampling, Emily Mortimer, Michelle Dockery. So it's got a... Must be a British film.
It says USA, UK.
So okay, yeah. So I can't really say too much about this one since I've never heard of it. Then is Beauty and the Beast, which of course is the live action version of the Oscar-winning Disney animated musical.
Which I think we can all say we're very excited to see, because it's got Emma Watson, Dan Stevens, Luke Evans, Ewan McGregor, Ian McKellen, Emma Thompson, Kevin Kline, Sandy Tucci, Josh Gad, and two other people I don't know.
I have to, actually, I'm going to make a confession. I've never seen the original Beauty and the Beast.
I'm sitting here and I just can't right now.
I know, your face kind of said it all pretty much. But
we're not
friends
anymore.
I'll have to watch it before the new version, for sure. Or maybe should I wait afterwards?
No, can you have lived your life not seeing Beauty and the Beast?
I will watch it, God.
Oh my God, I can't believe that. I'm done right now, I can't.
I've just made myself an even more terrible show.
That should have been your confession at the start of this podcast. Oh my God, all right, next one.
The Belko Experiment, which is directed by Greg McLean and written by James Gunn. It's a sort of horror movie, kind of basically a bunch of office workers somewhere.
It looks insane.
I haven't seen the trailer because I know it's red, you know, how I feel about red band trailers.
No,
so.
You're just watching going, fall. Yes. Yeah, I'm down.
Yeah, I'm a big Greg McLean fan, so I'm down for anything he makes. And, you know, James Gunn as well. So the combination of those two together will be awesome. Next is Chips, which I think is the big screen adaptation of the TV show.
Yeah.
That's going to be written and directed and starring Dax Shepard, Michael, and also has Michael Peña, Vincent D'Onofrio, Adam Brody, and a whole bunch of... And Kristen Bell, of course.
Well, why wouldn't she be in it?
Exactly. I'm
probably not really that interested in this one.
I'll have to see a trailer first before I can judge anything.
Yeah,
so.
I just feel like...
Then there's Life, which is the sci-fi film with Jake Gyllenhaal, Ryan Reynolds, Rebecca Ferguson. I've seen the trailer. It looks pretty solid.
Mm.
It's sort of a sci-fi horror movie. Then there's Power Rangers, which could go either way.
I honestly don't know what to think of it. I don't know if I'm down with these changes whatsoever.
Hmm.
I'm just going to say that about it.
Well, that's the thing, though. Like, I can definitely see that, but the Power Rangers were so cheesy, so it doesn't bother me.
Yeah.
And I'm saying that as someone who loved the Power Rangers when I was young.
Yeah.
But it could go either way, but I'm hoping for the best, though.
Mm.
But followed that up with their Finest. I've heard good things about this one. I know it's directed by the director behind An Education.
Oh, yeah.
But I've heard good things, though, so I'll have to keep that. Then there's The Boss Baby, the animated film, starring Alec Baldwin, Steve Buscemi, Tobey Maguire, Lisa Kudrow, and Jimmy Kimmel. I've seen the trailers for it. Could go either way, but it does look fun, though.
Yeah.
Then, of course, is the controversial The Ghost in the Shell with Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah, I felt nothing when I saw this trailer. I'm just like...
I don't know. I thought the trailer was pretty cool because it still had... Visually stunning and also still had that kind of weird vibe that the original had. So I'm curious.
I'm just like, I want to just watch the original.
I'll definitely be curious to see this one. And finally, for March, The Zookeeper's Wife with Jessica Chastain and Daniel Brühl, and directed by the director of Whale Rider. Don't know much about this one, but I bet I'll check it out for sure.
This one says it's directed by Zach Braff, going in style, so that's an automatic pass from me, because you know we are mortal enemies.
True, but I have to see it because of one name, and that is Morgan Freeman. And because it has Michael Caine and Alan Alda as well. I mean, Alan Arkin. Oh, Christopher Lloyd did it too, so I have to watch it. But then, of course, is Smurfs The Lost Village, which I think is a... It is an animated film, and it is a reboot of the Smurfs.
They're rebooting the Smurfs already?
Yes. And it has Joe Manganiello as a Smurf.
I'm going to pass. Hiya.
Followed that is Wonder, which is directed by Stephen Chomsky, who directed The Perks of Being a Wallflower. So okay. I have to check it out. Julia Roberts, Jacob Tremblay from Room, and Owen Wilson. So I'll have to check that out, because I love the Perks of Being a Wallflower. Followed up is Gifted, with Chris Evans, Jenny Slate, Octavia Spencer, is directed by Mark Webb.
Spider-Man.
Yeah.
He made his Spider-Man movies.
Yeah, and I think, this has been back to doing more character stuff, so I haven't seen the trailers, but I heard good things. I think this next one is we're both excited by The Fate of the Furious.
Yep, Fast and Furious 8. This one has Vin Diesel was suddenly turned on his family because of Charlize Theron. Oh my god, and it brings back Kurt Russell.
Ed also has Scott Eastwood.
Yep, I'm so down for this movie.
And who,
And it's got F. Gary Gray this time.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool.
Yeah, it's like got everyone in the entire history of film is going to be in this one. Although I'm disappointed that they didn't use, instead of the word fate, they should have put an F and
an eight,
eight
in there. The fate.
The fate. But followed that up with a film called Born in China, which is a documentary. I can't really say anything about that one.
Yep.
Next is The Lost City of Z, which is the new film from James Gray, starring Charlie Hunnam and Robert Pattinson and Tom Holland. James Gray, I mean, he's done some pretty solid films, and I loved his last film, The Immigrant, so I'll check that out. Next up is Unforgettable.
It has Katherine Heigl, so pass.
So it will be forgettable. I hear it's like another one of those, like, girl gets with a guy and she goes, like, insane kind of movies.
Yeah, well, pass.
And it's Cameron Heigl, so it's perfectly cast.
Yeah, says an animated movie called Animal Crackers.
With John Krasinski, Emily Blunt, Ian McKellen, Danny DeVito, Sylvester Stallone. Who was not in this movie?
Yeah.
I'll check it out with that cast. Then there's The Circle with James Ponsold, who made what are those movies called?
He doesn't remember.
I do know.
It's got Tom Hanks, Emma Watson, John Boyega, Karen Gillan,
Pat Moore, Oswald,
and Bill Paxton.
Yeah. I mean, he has made some good movies. I just can't think of what the names are off the top of my head.
Go to the next one.
Untitled Horror Movie.
We'll pass on that one. How to be a Latin Lover, directed by Ken Marino.
It has Selma Hayek and Kristen Bell, Rob Lowe.
Raquel Welch.
And why is Diego Luna not in this movie?
It could be my Latin Lover.
Okay, moving on to May. And I guess this is one we'd be very excited to see, is Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
Yeah, definitely excited as hell for this movie. Kurt Russell was in it, enough said.
And also Sylvester Stallone's in it as well, somewhere. I'm not sure what role he's playing, but he's in it, so that's all I know.
Yeah. Let's just say we want this movie right now.
Well, maybe more so you than me.
Yeah, I definitely want to own it.
next up is King Arthur, Legend of the Sword, which is Guy Ritchie's latest film. And I'm like, it's definitely a Guy Ritchie film based on the trailer.
Yeah, it looks very bizarre. It's got Charlie Hunnam.
Jude Law.
Role, yeah.
Yeah, it's sort of, like, it could go either way, but I'm hoping that'll at least be fun. So
yeah.
Next is Snatched. Jonathan Levine. Oh, I didn't know he was directing this one.
Amy Schumer and Goldie Hawn as mother and daughter.
Yeah, I'll check it out. I mean, I do like those two actresses and also Jonathan Levine, so I'll check that one out. Next one is Alien Covenant, which, of course, is the prequel to Alien, but the sequel to Prometheus.
without, her name?
Noomi Rapace. Yeah.
Yeah, she's suddenly not there anymore. But yeah. Michael Fassbender is somehow.
Yeah, the Red Band trailer was pretty cool. But, you know, I wasn't the biggest fan of Prometheus. So, if I am an Alien fan, so I'll check it out.
Mm, maybe it fixes what was wrong with Prometheus.
Yeah. Next is Diary of a Wimpy Kid, The Long
Haul.
Haven't
seen any of those movies.
I've seen all those movies, so I'll watch this one.
Do you know what this one is?
Everything.
Just passed.
Okay, next up is Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Men Tell No Tales.
I'm not a big fan of this series, so I don't care.
Oh, I'll see it. Like, I'll definitely check it out. Mainly because that first trailer was pretty cool. So
it's got Orlando Bloom coming back as well.
Yeah. And also next up is Baywatch with Dwayne Johnson and Zac Efron without his shirt on.
Zac Efron looks amazing and directed by Seth Gordon, who I really like. Yep. Yeah, I'm seeing Baywatch, and I'm just going to perv the fuck out of Zac Efron.
Next up is Lowriders. I don't know much about this one, but it has a pretty solid cast, like, in it, based on what I'm looking at screen with Damien Bashir, Melissa Benoist, Supergirl. Eva Longoria and all that, so I'll check it out. Now we're in June, so we have Captain Underpants, the first epic movie.
Now, is this, like, based on the books?
Yeah, it's all based on the books, yeah.
So that might be interesting. Yeah. It's an animated family movie.
Yeah. Next
up. But what we really care about is Wonder Woman.
Well, I think regardless on how you felt about Batman versus Superman, I think it pretty much the general consensus is Wonder Woman kicked ass in that movie. So I'm looking forward to this one. It looks great. And I'm hoping that it'll be successful enough that, because the film's directed by Patty Jenkins, who hasn't made a film since Monster. So I'm hoping that this will open the doors for more female directors making big blocks movies.
Cannot wait for Wonder Woman.
Indeed.
Also strangely excited for The Mummy.
Yeah. This is the first movie in the new Universal Monsters universe.
Well, Dracula Untold.
Yeah, but I think that's not counted now. That's what the director, Alex Gerpen, said. I don't know. It could go either way, but the trailer was
insane
and also hilarious.
It stars fucking Tom Cruise and Russell Crowe.
Yeah, in a movie of the Mummy. The same. I just want to watch it just so I can see more Tom Cruise screaming in fright. So that looks...
Yeah.
So I'll watch that. I'll watch it. Next up is The Book of Henry, Colin Trevorrow's newest film with Naomi Watts, Jacob Tremblay, Jaden Liebowner. He was in Midnight Special, Dean Morris, and a whole bunch of other people.
Isn't Maddie Ziegler the dancer?
Yeah.
In the Sia video?
Yeah, she is. Yeah. She must be. Yeah, she's in it too.
It's got Lee Pace as well.
Oh, yeah. So I'll definitely check that out.
Mm.
Next up is All Eyes on Me. I think this is the Tupac biopic.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'll check it out. I mean, it's... Yeah,
if it was the one I saw the trailer to, it looked shit. I don't know, because there was a couple of two-part biopics.
Next up is Zack Snyder's Cars 3.
That first trailer was like, what?
They really want us to like the series now. But, I know it's pretty much common knowledge that it's kind of the Cars series is kind of the lower point.
Yeah, but Armie Hammer is a voice in it.
So I have to watch it now. So that's pretty much it. I'll watch it for Armie Hammer.
Yeah.
Next up is Rock That Body, which is a comedy starring Scarlett Johansson, Zoe Kravitz, Kate McKinnon, Gillian Bell. What I know about this one, because it's basically about a bunch of girls going for a hen's night. Something happens, they wake up, and there's like a dead body the next day. And basically it's the comic hijinks of what happens after that. Next up is the remake of The Beguiled with Sofia Coppola writing and directing.
So she's back.
With Colin Farrell, Nicole Kidman, Kristen Dunst, Elle Fanning, Angourie Rice, Una Lawrence. That cast alone has me excited for this one. And the original's great, but I'm very curious to see how Sofia Coppola takes it on.
Yeah, that should be interesting.
Next up could be going either way for whoever is listening to this podcast. Transformers The Last Night. I need to see this movie because the premise is insane.
Oh, I'm there. I'm so there.
I mean, you've got Nazis, King Arthur, just more robots.
It just looks insane and I'm so there.
Yeah. And so, and also Anthony Hopkins.
I quite enjoyed number four. So yeah. So, everyone.
Yeah. I enjoy about at least three of the four films so far. So,
I hated two.
I think we all did.
Despicable Me 3.
Yeah, I enjoyed the other two. So
and what kind of has me excited for this, it's got Trey Parker as a villain.
Yep.
That has me sold. Done.
And Julie Andrews is in it too. I have to watch it now.
Yep, done.
Next up is a film called The House with Will Ferrell, Amy Poehler. So it must be a comedy, so I don't really know much about this one. Finally, after a billion years of being on the shelf, Amityville, The Awakening, which has been on the shelf for like 3 years now.
It's got Jennifer Jason Leigh.
I know. This is before she was nominated for an Oscar for thankfully. Wow. So hopefully it'll actually finally get released. If not, it'll probably just stay in the shelf somewhere. I know it's directed by the guy who made Maniac, the remake, so who knows.
Now we're into July.
July. We're, now, first up is a film we're both definitely excited for, Spider-Man Homecoming.
Yep. So there for this movie.
Yep. The trailer looks fun, and I'm happy how Spider-Man was handled.
I love Tom Holland. He's such a fantastic kid.
And he did, Spider-Man was just fully realized in Captain America Civil War, so I look forward to see how this movie turns out. Pretty much every cast member in the entire universe is in this one, so we'll see how that turns out. Next up is Midnight Sun with Bella Thorne, Patrick Schwarzenegger, but it's a romance, so...
Pass. No. Mean romance, I'm lying.
My cousin Rachel with Rachel Weisz, perfect Garcia there, Sam Claflin, Ian Glenn. There's a drama directed by Robert Michelle, who did Changing Lanes and Notting Hill and all that, So I don't know much about this one. So
she'll be the cousin Rachel, I don't know.
Of course. Next up is one I'm excited about, War for the Planet of the Apes.
Definitely on board for this movie.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of this reboot Planet of the Apes
series. Yeah, it's great.
So I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah, this will be good.
Next up is Christopher Nolan's Return to the Big Screen with Dunkirk.
This looks insane and I'm so there.
And yeah, it looks, great cast. Harry Styles is in it.
yeah, who cares?
But I'm excited for it. Next up is Girl Trip. I don't know anything about this one. It's a comedy, so it could go either way. Next up is Valerian and the City of a Thousand Planets, Luc Besson's latest film.
With Dane DeHaan.
Is this the year of Dane DeHaan?
It is. He's in everything.
It's like the fourth or fifth film we've called out his name in this entire.
He must be making a lot of money.
It's got Cara Delevingne, John Goodman, Clive Owen, Ethan Hawke, Rihanna, Rutger Hauer.
So, I guess we'll check this one out.
Yeah, it looks insane, but looks like a lot of fun. Next up is The Dark Tower. I haven't read the books.
No, neither have I. But this has been talked about for so long. It finally got made.
Indeed. So from what I hear, it's more of a sequel to the books.
Yeah.
So, and it has Matthew. It has, all right. Yeah.
I like taking my shirt off.
And Idris Elba, so we'll have to check that out. Next up is The Culver City, which is directed by one half of the John Wick directors. And it has Charlize Theron, James McAvoy, and John Goodman. He's all over the place too, John Goodman. And Toby Jones. Cool. Next up is untitled live action fairy tale film.
Yeah, pass.
Next up is, we're in August now, so All I See Is You, which is the new film from Mark Forster with Blake Lively and Jason Clarke and Yvonne Shafozik. It's a drama thriller. I know a little bit. I think she's blind in the film or something, so that's all I know about it. So
this next one I'm definitely passing on. It is The Emoji Movie, and it stars TJ Miller, so you know.
Next up is Annabelle 2.
For some reason, it stars Miranda Otto and Anthony LaPaglia.
And this is a prequel to the very first Annabelle. Annabelle, which in turn was a prequel to. So this is like a prequel. Right. They're just going to keep making prequels to this.
Yeah, I didn't see Annabelle. So.
Well, it's directed by the guy who made Lights Out, which I thought was a fun little horror movie, so it could go either way. I mean, I didn't mind the first one, so it could go either way. Next up, of course, is Edgar Wright is back with Baby Driver.
Yeah, he's got a really good cast, so definitely be down for more Edgar Wright.
Yeah, I'm excited about. Next up is The Hitman's Bodyguard with Ryan Reynolds, Samuel L. Jackson, and Gary Oldman, and directed by Australian director Patrick Hughes. It's an action comedy, so it could go either way. So, next up, of course, is somehow there's a sequel to this, The Nut Job 2, Nutty by Nature.
Yeah, let's just pass on that. Pass.
But is Dan the heart of this movie? That's what I need to
know.
No, he's not. Okay. Next up, of course, is an action comedy called Villa Capri with Morgan Freeman and
Tommy Lee Jones,
Renee Russo, Glenn Headley. Oh, it's got a pretty solid cast. Don't know anything about this one, so I'll have to keep it on my radar.
Cadaver.
That's, yeah, Cadaver with nobody whose name I recognise.
It's got the chick from Castle.
Yeah,
Stana Katic. Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool. Next up, we're here in September. Which is the film called Renegades, directed by Stephen Quayle, who did Final Destination 5 and written by Luc Besson, with Sutherland Stapleton, J.K. Simmons. And, yeah, I mean, all I know is that this is an action thriller, so it could go either way. Next up, of course, is It. I haven't read the book, so...
I've only seen the mini-series, which when you watch now, you're like, Jesus, this is not scary. This is so stupid.
All I know is that this is going to be one half of a duology? Duology? Is that what they call it now?
I don't know.
Well, it's the first part of a two-part film, so this one's focusing on the younger years. So, could go either way, but I'm hoping for the best. Next up is Solitude. Sorry. Action fantasy film starring Cody Smith McPhee. Could go either way. Next up is Granite...
Most of these just could go either way.
Yeah, because we don't know much about it. Next is Granite Mountain. Oh, Joe Kaczynski directed this one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, who made
Tron.
Legacy and Oblivion.
Oblivion, yeah.
Stars Ben Hardy, Jennifer Connelly, Taylor Kitsch, Miles Teller, James Madge-Dale, Josh Brolin,
and Jeff Bridges.
Well, this is a pretty good cast. So I'll have to keep that in mind. Next up is the Lego Ninjago movie.
Yeah, it's got Jackie Chan, so...
Yeah. And I mean, if it's good as Lego Movie and hopefully Lego Batman...
Ninjago is a really fun show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's quite enjoyable, actually.
Next up is Victoria and Abdul.
From Stephen Frears.
With Judi Dench, Eddie Izzard, and a whole bunch of other people.
Biopic
could go either way, but, you know... So next up is American Made, which is Doug Liman again. He's back with his second film of the year, and it's with Tom Cruise, Domhnall Gleeson, and Caleb Landry-Jones, and Jesse Plemons. And it's a biopic, I think. So
okay.
Next up is Flatliners. Now, before anyone gets upset, this is actually a sequel to Flatliners.
Not a remake.
It's not a remake, but it's probably going to be basically like Blair Witch, where it's a sequel.
But does Kiefer Sutherland play the same character?
Yeah, he plays the same character. Okay. And it has Ellen Page, Diego Luna, finally, Nina Dobrev, and Kirsty Clemons, and it's directed by the director of Girl of the Dragon Tattoo. So.
And now for my birthday month, October.
Yep. First up is a film I'm excited by, Blade Runner 2049, with, I always get this director's name wrong, Denis
Villeneuve.
I wish our friend Denny Lewis is here, because he can pronounce it for me. With Harrison Ford, Ryan Gosling, Robin Wright, Jared Leto, Dave Bautista, and so many others. I mean, Blade Runner is a masterpiece of cinema. And I'm curious to see how this one's going to turn out. Mm. But I think with the director and Ridley Scott as producer, I'm hoping that all...
It should be interesting.
But the trailer looked visually stunning, so...
Should be interesting, for sure.
Next up is Kingsman, The Golden Circle. The first Kingsman I thought was pretty awesome, so I'm down for the sequel.
I still haven't seen Kingsman.
Matthew Vaughn's back, directed with Taron Egerton, and also Julianne Moore, Halle Berry, Jeff Bridges, Channing Tatum, Mark Strong, Vinnie Jones, Elton John. Oh, Pedro Pascal, is it? So
it's beautiful.
Next up is a film I know you're excited by.
Oh, yeah.
My Little Pony, the movie.
Yep, I'm so down for this.
I mean, I don't know. Is that all the cast from the TV show?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, Sia is in it too, because I see her name.
Sia, hell yeah.
Next up, of course, is The Snowman, which is Tomas Alfredson's latest film with Michael Fassbender and Rebecca Ferguson and Charlotte Gainsbourg and J.K. Simmons. Oh, cool. So I'm definitely down for that. I mean, I love Let the Right One In, Ticker Taylor's Old Soldier Spy, so I'll see that. Next up is Lucky Logan, which is the return of Steven Soderbergh.
Even though he's meant to have retired.
Yeah, but Steven Soderbergh says a lot of things.
Yeah.
It's got Channing Tatum, Adam Driver, Riley Keough, Catherine Waterston, Sebastian Stan, Daniel Craig, Katie Holmes, Seth MacFarlane, Hilary Swank. That's a pretty awesome cast right there.
There's a lot of people in that movie.
So I'll have to check that out. Next up is The Commuter, which is a Liam Neeson action movie with Vera Farmiga, Sam Neill, Patrick Wilson, Elizabeth McGovern, and Jonathan Banks, and directed by Jaume Collet-Serra. I mean, I enjoyed their previous collaboration, so I'm down for this. Next up is, hopefully if it comes out this year, the new Friday the 13th movie. I'm down for that because I'm a huge Friday the
13th. See how it turns out. Yeah.
Next up is The Mountain Between Us, which is a disaster romance film with Idris Elba and Kate Winslet, and co-written by Chris Weitz. I could go either way, I suppose. Next up is a movie that's also been on the shelf for like a billion years, Geostorm, directed by Dean Devlin, the producer of Independence Day with Gerard Butler. It's about, this premise sounds insane. It's basically, from what I hear, it's an asteroid coming to destroy Earth, but at the same time, these two brothers try to stop this asteroid, but also there's an assassination attempt on the president.
Right. Okay, then.
Next up is another film that's been on the shelf for a while, Same Kind of Different as Me, with Renee Zellweger, John Boyd, and Dijon Ponce, and Greg Kinnear. Don't know much about that one. Next up is Insidious Chapter 4, with Lynn Shay, Lee Whannell, and Angus Sampson.
So is this a sequel?
Yeah, this is a sequel to the third film, but a prequel to the first
movie. Because I don't think I've seen sequels.
The sequel, well, the second sequel is really cool. The third one's pretty solid, but...
And that's a prequel.
Yeah, it's a prequel to the first film, but a sequel to the third film, if that makes any sense.
No, it doesn't.
Next up, of course, is God Particle, with Daniel Bruhl, Elizabeth Debicki, Juju Ambutaror, Chris O'Dowd, Zhang Ziyi, David Oyelowo, John Oretz. I know this is produced by J.J. Abrams, and I think from what I remember, this is actually going to be the third Cloverfield movie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but I think they haven't changed the title yet, so at the moment it's just named God Particle. And also is the reboot kind of sequel Saw Legacy with...
But it still says Tobin Bell, so...
Yeah, well, flashbacks. But I enjoyed the other Saw films.
You know how I feel about Saw, yeah. So this one better fucking be good.
And it's directed by the Spielberg brothers, who did Daybreakers and Predestination.
And the good thing is, it'll be my birthday weekend for this, so I enjoy a Saw movie on my birthday.
Yep. Now we're in November, which is my birthday month.
Yep, you got some decent shit going on.
Yeah, so we've got Thor Ragnarok, which I'm really excited about because...
I think I was calling it Thor Rancor because I couldn't say it.
Because Takai Waititi of Hunt for the Wilder People and What We Do in the Shadows fame is directing.
Yeah, that's such a great job for him.
Yeah, and also, like, all the cast is pretty much back, and then we got Mark Ruffalo back as the Hulk. Jeff Goldblum is in there, Carl Urban, Kate Blanchett, so I'm really excited. And also, should I say who might also be in it as well, or is that kind of a spoiler?
Oh, I don't know.
Because who's in another recent Marvel movie?
Yeah.
Okay, I won't say the person, because it might be a spoiler. Also, Red Sparrow with Joel Edgerton, Jennifer Lawrence, Jeremy Irons, directed by Francis Lawrence. I'll check that out. I think it's a spy film from what I hear. Next up is The Star with Oprah Winfrey and Tyler Perry.
It's an animated movie.
Next up is Paddington 2. Yes.
Apparently they made Paddington 2.
To be fair, Paddington is awesome. The very first one. So definitely I'm excited for this sequel. Next up, of course, which I think, depending on who you are, is Justice League.
Cautiously optimistic, yeah. I guess.
I think they know because based on... I think they knew but even before Batman vs. Superman came out that this one would be totally different. Mm. But of the footage I've seen so far, it definitely seems like, you know, it'll have the humour that... everyone else has been wanting and everything. So I would say I'm excited, but just to see how this one turns out. Next up is a Disney animated film called Coco, directed by the director of Toy Story 3 with Benjamin Bratt, Gael Garcia Bernal. And I don't know much about this one, but, you know, it's Disney and it's animated. It's Pixar. Oh, it's Pixar. Okay, so I'll have to check it out. Next up is a film called Let It Snow. There's not really much on there, only just the director and writers are there.
Oh, so Kenneth Branagh has remade Murder on the Orient Express. Didn't know that.
And it's got him in the lead role, but also Johnny Depp, Judi Dench, Derek Jacobi, Michelle Pfeiffer, Daisy Ridley, Josh Gad, Penelope Cruz, Michael Peña, Willem Dafoe. So that's a pretty amazing cast for it. I mean, if you're going to have a movie, a new version of Murder on the Orient Express, you need to have a cast that. Like that.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive.
Next up is Joe Wright's newest film, Darkest Hour, with Gary Oldman in the role as Winston Churchill.
Oh, okay.
And also Ben Mendelsohn, John Hurt, Kristen Scott Thomas. Yeah, I've seen pictures of Gary Oldman in the makeup, and he looks phenomenal. So,
okay.
And it's Joe Wright, so I'll check this out.
Mm.
Next up, of course, is a horror thriller called He's Out There with the director of the Last House on the Left remake with Yvonne Strafozik. And it could go either way, so I can't really say too much. Next up, of course, I think everyone's excited for this, Star Wars Episode 8.
Yeah.
So hopefully it will be different plot-wise from The Force Awakens, but nobody seems to care about
it. Let's hope this is not a retread of The Empire Strikes Back.
That'd be hilarious if it was.
And it will be the last time we see Carrie Fisher as Princess Leia. And I don't know if Kenny Baker was still doing R2, but he also passed.
I don't think he was. I don't think he played him in Force Awakens.
But he did pass this year.
Yeah.
Last year, sorry.
But new additions to this one are Benicio del Toro, Laura Dern. And they're kind of like the main ones. But also, I'm excited by this one because Rian Johnson of Looper fame is writing and directing the film. So I'm excited to see how...
And maybe Mark Hamill will be in it and have dialogue.
Exactly. And I know it's actually set literally the second after Force Awakens.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to that.
I wonder what his first words will be. Who the fuck are you? Why have you got my lightsaber?
How's hard? That's a poor joke. I'm sorry. Next up is a film called Ferdinand. It's an animated film. Made by the people behind Ice Age and Rio and all that. Chris O'Dowd, Donald Sutherland, Diego Luna. There's another reason for you to watch it. So I don't know much about this one. Next up is Jumanji, which is, I guess, from what I hear, is kind of a quasi-reboot sequel type of
thing. Yeah, I got zero interest in this movie. I really just don't care.
I'll see it. But, you know, that's just me, though. Nick Jonas is in it, so you have to watch it now.
And more Ruby Rose in Pitch Perfect 3.
Oh, yeah. This is going to be the year of Ruby Rose being in so many sequels this year.
It's Ruby Rose and Dane DeHaan in everything.
And pretty much the entire cast is back from what I hear. I enjoyed the first two.
I love the first two, so definitely.
Yeah. Next up is Downsizing, which is the latest film from Alexander Payne with Matt Damon, Christoph Waltz, Kristen Wiig, Jason Sudeikis, Alec Baldwin, Neil Patrick Harris. So that's a pretty solid
cast. It's Alexander Payne, so yeah.
Yeah, this is one I know Alexander Payne's been working on forever, so it's finally coming, so excited. Next up is Untitled Warner Brothers Comedy. We can skip that. next up is The Greatest Showman with Hugh Jackman, Zac Efron, Michelle Williams, Zendaya, Rebecca Ferguson. I don't know much about this one.
It's a biography musical drama.
I'll check it out if it's like that. So, yeah. And that's pretty much it, really.
Yeah, the best man wedding, which has no details.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's... what's on their Wikipedia page.
Yeah, like there's probably still other films coming out, but you know...
I'm sure we've skipped a whole bunch that went on there.
Most of them probably won't premiere to like film festivals and stuff like that, so they probably don't have any release dates as of yet. So,
Would you have one you're most excited about for this year?
Ooh, that's a tough one. There's a couple, like I'd say if I had five that I was excited about, I'd say Episode 8, of course.
Yeah, I think that's probably my most anticipated.
Followed by Thor Ragnarok, because from the sounds of it, it sounds like it's going to be probably the best Thor film, from what I've been hearing. Spider-Man Homecoming, I'm definitely excited.
Yeah, that's definitely a big one.
I am excited for Transformers The Last Night.
Yeah, I am excited for that.
Yeah, because the trailer was pretty cool. So.
And The Fate of the Furious.
Yes, and The Fate of the Furious, although I will give an honourable mention to... Justice League. But Marcy, which ones are you excited
about? Yeah, pretty much those, Justice League, Wonder Woman.
Oh yeah, Wonder Woman I would definitely say is one of my most anticipated too.
Yeah. There's a lot to look forward to, and I'm sure a lot of other things will end up popping up. I'm sure there's ones we've missed and we'll think that, oh shit, they didn't have it listed or something later. But yeah, should be an interesting year for films.
Yeah.
I guess next up, award season continues.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Oscars will be here before we know it.
Yeah, we'll probably do, if we can, of course, do our sort of annual pre and post Oscar show, talk about the nominees.
Yeah, I'm thinking La La Land will have a big sweep of nominations.
Yeah, totally.
I'm expecting that will happen, but yeah. So I think that's a wrap.
Yep,
we've actually managed to do this without taking a billion hours, which is quite impressive. So, yeah, you guys can find us at supermarcy.com. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/thesupernetwork. And you can now follow our new Twitter account, which is twitter.com/sm_supernetwork. You can follow my personal account on Twitter at twitter.com/supermarcy. We can send us an email, and I can't remember what the email is, so we'll just have to leave that for now. Embarrassing. V, what about you?
People can find me at my Twitter page at twitter.com/bjermine, or my Facebook page at facebook.com/bjermine, or my fan page at facebook.com/terribleaussie. And of course, you can find my weekly writings all at supermarcy.com. I do have a couple of things coming up, mixture of written and video reviews coming out in the next few weeks, and of course my long-awaited top 10 best and worst of 2016, so keep a lookout for those. Won't be for another few weeks yet, but look out for all those.
Just look out for all our content.
Of course.
And so welcome to 2017. That's a wrap from us, and yeah, we'll see you guys what's more in this new year. So yeah, thanks for listening. Take it easy.
See you guys. Bye.